Let's begin where we left off yesterday, I mean liturgically, because the end of the gospel yesterday was Jesus' wisdom. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. It was the conclusion of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So I'm sure you remember it from yesterday's Mass. In that parable, the tax collector was unwilling to raise his eyes to heaven. He was stooped down in his humility and in his repentance. He was stooped down, and because he stooped down, because he humbled himself, he was exalted. It was a lesson to us about humility, especially humility when we're speaking to God. Well, in today's gospel, we have a woman who's stooped down. She's completely incapable of standing erect, not because of her sin or because of her shame, but because of a physical condition. It says here that she was, for 18 years, crippled by a spirit. Now, in modern times, we would probably consult a doctor and find out what's wrong with her. There's probably a medical explanation for her crippled condition or her disability. Maybe a spinal injury or maybe some kind of a weakness in the muscles. But in this reading, it says she's crippled by a spirit, and Jesus himself said that Satan had held her bound for 18 years. Maybe this isn't so significant, but in modern or current English usage, the word cripple is considered inappropriate now. I'm not supposed to use the word crippled. Now the correct term for people with any kind of illness is a disability. So PWD is person with disability. Interestingly, in this gospel, it says she was crippled by a spirit, and then two verses later, Jesus says, "Woman, you are set free of your infirmity." In the Greek, it's actually the same word. What English here has crippled and infirmity, in Greek, asthenia. She had a spirit of asthenia, meaning a spirit of disability. And when Jesus says, "Woman, you are set free," he says, "You are set free of your disability." It's the same Greek word. Here in English, they use two different words. So she had a disability. She had a condition that left her unable to stand up straight. And Jesus, having compassion on her, set her free with his words and with his compassionate gesture. He laid hands on her. And she was immediately cured. She stood up straight and she glorified God. Beautiful. A beautiful healing story. Beautiful to anybody who's objective, who sees the woman, who sees that she's suffering and has compassion on her. That's the right response to anybody who has a disability. You say, well, let's have compassion. Except the only one who doesn't seem to think it's a great thing is the leader of the synagogue, the chief official of that synagogue, who is indignant that Jesus violated the Sabbath. Now, since yesterday we just heard about a Pharisee and a tax collector, the Pharisee was standing up straight in front of everybody proclaiming how great and holy he was, and the tax collector was stooped down. There's something similar here. Here's a woman who's stooped down, not because of her moral condition, but her physical illness and her spiritual bondage. And here's the leader of the synagogue. I don't know if he was a Pharisee or exactly what title he had, but he was the spiritual head of that particular place of worship. And he's standing up saying, no, this woman should not be set free today because today is the Sabbath day and no work is allowed. There are 6 days when work should be done. Come on those days to be cured, not on the Sabbath day. it's obvious to us that there's something wrong with this man. That's just a wrong reaction to a very beautiful healing miracle. And Jesus immediately points out that there's something wrong with him. He says, hypocrites. Hypocrites. Hypocrites are people who look good on the outside, but inside there's something distorted, something corrupted. And that's what this man is. He looks like he's standing up for God, he's standing up for the law of God, he's defending the Sabbath, but inside he's got some kind of a judgment against this woman and also against Jesus. And then, in fact, the leader of the synagogue might have thought that the woman shouldn't be there in the first place because she has a disability and she might defile the synagogue. And maybe Jesus shouldn't have touched her, because if she has a sickness, well, then he would be made unclean by the sickness. That's probably what was in the back of the mind of this synagogue official. But Jesus says, no, I'm not here to label people as being unclean or to exclude anyone from the worship of God. I'm here to reconcile everyone with the Father, to bring salvation, salvation physically and spiritually. He identifies the woman not as a PWD, but as a daughter of Abraham. That's her real identity. She is a daughter of Abraham. She's a beloved daughter of God, a child of God. And she has a right to be set free on the Sabbath. What good is the Sabbath if it can't be set free? You can see why everybody rejoiced when Jesus made this point. You even treat your livestock, your farm animals, better than you're treating this woman. You let them free from their bondage to go have water on the Sabbath, and you wouldn't let this woman be free? So, okay, so here we have a beautiful story of Jesus revealing the love of the Father for this daughter of Abraham and for all of us who are in need of being set free. And then we're also being shown the ugliness that we saw in the Pharisee yesterday, the hypocrisy, the judgment, the pride, the sort of thing that actually does cripple us spiritually, whether we're able to stand up straight or not. If we're in pride and we're judging other people as being unworthy or being less than us, well, then we're the ones who have a spiritual disability. In today's first reading, St. Paul makes the liturgy makes the connection, but St. Paul is describing not a physical condition, but a spiritual condition, the contrast between being living in the flesh and living in the spirit. So I think it goes very well with this gospel, even though the gospel is about a physical healing. Paul is talking about the spirit, the spiritual gift of being adopted as children of God, of being treated with the dignity of children of God. Now, this is from Romans chapter 8. I pointed out the other day that we're going to spend a lot of time on Romans. Chapter 8 is the heart of the letter. We started it on Saturday. We read again today. Tomorrow, because of the feast day, we won't read from Romans chapter 8. But again, on Wednesday and Thursday, we'll be reading from this beautiful chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. He has already established the difference between slavery to sin and slavery to God. He's established the difference between living according to the flesh and living according to the spirit. And in this particular section, he elevates the discussion not only to compare those two different things, slavery and different kinds of living according to the flesh or living according to the spirit, but then he says those who are living according to the spirit or those who are led by the spirit of God are sons of God. This is the new idea it brings in Romans chapter 8. Sons of God. Not slaves at all. Not even, he drops the slavery idea, because he says, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. The gift to be able to call God Abba, Father. That gift is what's been given to us. So even that language of slavery doesn't seem to fit anymore. We're children, adopted children of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, we're heirs. Heirs with Christ. Heirs meaning we inherit what Christ inherited, by the victory over sin and death. If only we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. It's a wonderful description of our true identity. We are not limited simply by the human labels that we are given or are given to us. Our nationality, our culture, our language, our physical condition, our appearance, the amount of money we have or don't have, or whatever other markers of or labels we might take on. No, our identity is based on God's love for us. He loves us so much that he adopts us as his children, makes us part of his family. That's the gift that we celebrate. And it's a gift that transcends all the experiences of life in this world, whether we're suffering or we're rejoicing, whether we're at war or at peace, whether it's raining or sunny, whatever it is, it doesn't change our identity. Whether we are tempted or even fallen into sin, or whether we are the holiest person in the world, our identity is adopted children of God, heirs with Christ, and we can call God Abba, Father. That's what makes it possible for us to stand up straight in the Spirit and glorify God. Because we have been chosen, we have been touched by God, we've been called by God, saved by God to be part of his family. So that's the joy that comes with faith. And we renew that faith as we worship together today.